Somebody wants to call and say something about this. Please speak up. You don't have to say your name. I'm not going to say anybody's name, but I will say that PE is important. But I also feel that art and music are important. Mm-hmm. It develops a part of your brain. Research has long shown that people who do art, music, are going to develop their brains and be more, they'll learn more, be able to learn more.
And
they'll be smarter.
More well-rounded individuals, too.
So I will say I do not have children, and I just wrote a big, you know how we have to pay our property taxes.
Yes.
Which I feel, and I know that goes for education part of it, and I feel that education is so important. My goodness, if I did not feel that education was important, how could I have become a doctor?
Very true.
I love to read. I love to study. And this is my whole mission. Not only do I want to impart that interest, that passion of learning and studying and understanding your body, understanding your health to my radio audience, to my patients. So when someone says, you know, we're going to cut out PE, I really think that is the wrong thing to do.
I guess everybody can hear the passion that Dr. Triana brings to the discussion, right?
Yes. And I want people to know that this is so important. Whether you have children or not, not only that, my school teacher patients will tell me, children have a lot of energy. They want to use up that energy. So why don't we direct it in a safe and healthy manner? Why not learn about physical education? Why not learn the different sports? I'll be honest with you. I've never been athletic. But I when I was in Girl Scouts, I did canoeing, sailing, swimming. I had my Red Cross certification. And it was wonderful growing up here in Charlotte County and being able as a kid to sail in a little sailboat with my Girl Scout troop out in Charlotte Harbor. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. What an opportunity.
One that unfortunately future generations may not get to enjoy the way things are going.
Right, if we don't do it. So what's the topic of the day? Well, everybody's been reading in the news, and this is another thing. I want people, if you see something in the news, you have a question, call us. If I don't know the answer, believe me, I'll research it and get back to you. So everyone's been talking in the news. It's been on the news, on the internet. And the topic for today is, and this is a switch. So if you have children, you may not want them to hear this topic. The topic is oral cancer and oral sex. Is there a link?
Mm.
And I want everyone to understand, because we know that oral cancer is rising. The incidence is rising, and I want people to understand what is associated, what risk. You know, we talk about risk. Risk is the chance of you getting that illness. So in other words, if you're a smoker, if you have high blood pressure, if you have diabetes, if your cholesterol is high, you're at greater risk for vascular disease. We've said this. If your waist is greater than 35 inches in women and 40 inches in men. But today, we're going to talk about the risk of cancer, oral cancer. What is the oral cavity? The mouth, the back of the throat, the lips. These are very, very important. We know that that risk increases if you use tobacco. Now, there's some people that say, well, you know, I don't smoke, but they chew.
Mm, yes.
Chewing tobacco, snuffing tobacco, using cigars, using pipes, smoking cigarettes is all use of tobacco. So I want to make everyone aware of that. It's not just smoking cigarettes. Tobacco and alcohol use are both, and alcohol, and I'm talking about heavy amounts of alcohol, also put you at risk for oral cancer.
I've never heard that mentioned before.
Yes. And also, we also know the sun on your lips. Mm-hmm. We had a whole program on UVA, UVB. We know that the sun can burn your lips and also predispose you to cancer.
That's why you have to protect your lips like you would your face.
Right. It's not just your face. Mm-hmm. So what are the risks? Another risk is the human papilloma virus, HPV.
This has been a big issue over the last week, hasn't it?
It is a big issue because, you know, movie stars, when Rosie O'Donnell had a heart attack, remember, it was everything about women and heart attack.
Sure.
These are celebrities. And, you know, when they have something and they bring it up, it's all over the news.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Michael Douglas, I think he's a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he is bringing up this awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So the awareness is we need to know what is this human papillomavirus, because there are over 100 subtypes of this virus. So it's very important to understand.
Okay.
But going back to the cancer of the mouth, mm-hmm. the most common is squamous cell carcinoma. That's the lining of the mouth. So we also know there's other cancers that can occur in the mouth, which are in your salivary glands, the parotid glands, the salivary glands. Those also can become cancerous. What do we need to look for? Because everybody is going, oh my goodness. Well, we need to look for, is there changes in your mouth? Do you have a white plaque that doesn't go away? Did you know that men have a greater... Oh, we have a caller.
We'll come right back to that thought in a moment. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Good morning. I hope I'm not a little off subject, but doctor, could you tell me the difference between an MD and a DO? What is the difference?
That's a very good question. That comes up sometimes.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and hang up so I can hear better.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
MDs and DOs go to different schools. They used to be more of a difference, but now we know that MDs and DOs do residencies just like MDs used to do. So in the end, the MD and DO has to have the same training as an MD, and also they have to have the same test. So in the end, they may go to a different emphasis in their medical school, but in the end, everyone, MD and DOs, have to pass the same test and know the same information and do residency training for their specialty.
And then are so licensed there's really, physicians, right?
Yeah, there's really not, I don't know of a major, major difference. We could have a DO come and talk to us about the big difference. But the final is that, for example, if someone's a cardiologist, a family physician, they have to have the same certification and pass the same exams.
Okay. That would be a good idea for a future show, because that does come up from time to time.
Yes. And going back to the mouth cancer.
You're saying men have a greater chance.
Men have a greater chance of developing oral cancer. So what do you need to look for? You need to look for a sore that never heals in your mouth, a lump in your mouth, an ulcer that doesn't heal, difficulty swallowing, difficulty with speech, lymph nodes that appear, you need to discuss this with your doctor, and weight loss. So these are some things that you need to look for. We also know another risk, which people sometimes don't realize. When you have poor oral hygiene, which means there's people out there who forget to brush their teeth.
Forget?
There are some people.
Okay.
For those people who have poor oral hygiene, you're at greater risk to having oral cancer.
So there's a link between hygiene and cancer even. Okay.
Yes. There's also a link, which is becoming more and more evident with oral hygiene, periodontal disease, mm-hmm. because there's bacteria that live in the mouth, mm-hmm. and also heart disease, vascular disease. So keeping your teeth healthy is not just an aesthetic thing. It should be very important part of your health. Mm-hmm. It's very, very important. And I want to stress that because I do see that some people forget to brush their teeth. And it's very important, oral health. Get checked by a dentist.
People are so afraid of dentists, even for ordinary checkups. But I think your point, it should be well taken by everybody, that the rest of your health is going to decline if your mouth and teeth aren't working the way they're supposed to.
Yes. It's very, very important, not only for predisposing you as in a risk for oral cancer, mm-hmm. but we know that it's associated with vascular disease. By the way, this is a sidebar. Did you know that the worst bite you can get, the dirtiest bite you can get, is the human bite?
Mm-hmm.
It's dirtier than a dog or cat bite. So for us animal lovers out there, which I am one,
mm-hmm.
you know, I had a patient who goes, oh, I love to hear about your animals because I have 4 Dachshunds, 2 barn cats,
mm-hmm.
a horse, 50 chickens. I don't eat my chickens. Mm-hmm. They're pets. And I love animals. In fact, last night, I was coming home. I saw a baby alligator on the roadway.
Oh, you didn't?
Yes, because there's so much water everywhere.
Yeah.
And I saw a baby alligator. And, you know, I'm not into reptiles, but I don't even kill bugs. So it was about not even 1.5 feet long.
I'm glad you didn't let my wife know because she wants to adopt one, as silly as that sounds. And she knows she can't. She can't legally, and it's not safe, but she loves alligators.
Well, you know, they belong in the wild.
That's right.
With God.
They belong away from people or people away from them, depending on how you want to look at it.
Because I have a little Dachshund that could be an hors d'oeuvre, mm-hmm. and I don't want that to happen. They're very safe. I keep my animals very safe, please.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to the oral cancer. So what is this human papilloma virus? Everybody's, you know, it's the big buzzword, and it's important. And everyone should understand about the human papilloma virus because it causes a lot of different things. Did you know that the human papilloma virus causes regular warts on the skin?
Mm-hmm.
It also can cause genital warts. What are genital warts? Genital warts are also called condyloma acuminata or venereal warts.
Okay.
They're associated with precancerous to cancerous changes, the human papilloma virus, in cancer of the uterus, cervical uterine cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to know the cervix can be assaulted by the human papilloma virus. It is the most common sexually transmitted disease.
That was going to be my next question, ironically, is how common is it? Because I hear
very common. Very common. 75% of both men and women in reproductive age have been infected with the human papilloma virus.
Okay.
That's about 6 million people per year
mm-hmm.
get infected. Most of those people get infected between the ages of 15 and 25.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a virus that is very important. There's over 100 subtypes or subgroups. So not all of them are really bad.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we have what's called the low risk and the high risk.
Okay.
And I'm going to let everyone know which is the high risk.
All right.
And yes, we can prevent, and it's very important. We know that the human papilloma virus, we can decrease transmission with the use of condoms, but it's not 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to know that human papillomavirus is a player in regular warts, genital warts, penile warts, and cervical cancer. It is a player, and we need to understand that.
And there are over 100 different subtypes?
100 different subtypes.
Okay.
And remember, also, it's a player in plantar warts. You know, people get plantar warts.
Yes, yes.
It's there's a type that affects school children. They get the regular warts. So on the skin. Mm-hmm. So that's very important. What are the low risk? The low risk, more important is what are the high risk? The high risk is subtype 16 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is important to know what type you have. Also, 6, 11, 16, and 18, as we said, are also of high risk.
Okay. And this is something that can be tested and...
Yes, we can
demonstrated.
Test for that.
Okay, good.
Okay. Most people have no symptoms when they get infected. So you could be a carrier of the human papillomavirus. You never had a wart. You never had a lesion, but you still have the virus. The immune system can clear it in some people in about 2 years, or it may not clear it. It may stay in your body. So that's important to know. Even if you do not have any symptoms or you have no lesions, you can transmit the virus. You can spread the infection. So we need to understand that the spread of this virus is contact, skin with skin. All
forgive
right?
me if I'm getting ahead in the conversation here. I don't mean to, but a burning question in my mind. Can a person go their entire life carrying the virus and never have any symptoms or signs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But we're going to talk about the ways that we could find the virus.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, people who have genital warts, they need to know. And if you have something that doesn't seem right, you need to get it checked out. If you have a bump, a lump, an ulcer that doesn't go away, that has burning or tenderness or bleeding. Remember, we talked about when skin cancer, too. That needs to be checked out. So if somebody says, you know, I have something, it doesn't go away, it's still there, you need to get it checked out.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that we can diagnose cervical cancer. What is the simplest test we use to diagnose cervical cancer? The Pap test. The Pap test.
Oh, yes.
What is the Pap test? Did you know that this was discovered? Why is it called the Pap test?
That's a good question.
Because it was discovered by a scientist, a pathologist, Papanicolaou.
Ah.
So now he's famous because he discovered the Pap test. What is the Pap test? We take cells from the cervix. What is the cervix? The cervix is the entrance of the uterus. We take those cells and they're looked at under the microscope. Now, if those cells are not normal, then they might be either precancerous or cancerous cells. Those cells can also be tested for the human papillomavirus,
mm-hmm.
HPV. So this is so important because we know that if we can prevent this virus in your body, then guess what? We can prevent cervical cancer. So I want people to listen closely because this is important. And it's important for not only for you, but for your children and your grandchildren. You know, I want people to understand things so that it could change their lives. Every information I'm getting is, I want people to go, whoop, there goes that light bulb. I love what I do. I want to help my patients and my radio audience.
I think it'd be a good point here to take just a quick breather and remind everybody that this is a live radio talk show and that everybody's welcome to participate. If you have questions or comments that pertain to today's topic, we would welcome your call at 206-1580 or 888-441-1580. You can also always visit TrianaPreventionCenter.com. That's T-R-I-A-N-A, PreventionCenter.com. From there, you can email the doctor and ask all kinds of questions. You can listen to previous radio programs. There's an entire archive there to listen to, get caught up on things. And I imagine a link to Facebook, the new Facebook page that's been put together.
Yes.
Okay, good. That's nice. So again, give us a call if you'd like to join us. And now let's go back to Dr. Triana.
Thank you. Yes, this is Dr. Elizabeth Triana. And our topic today is oral cancer and oral sex. Mm-hmm. Is there a link? And we have been showing that there is a link.
Okay.
But we also know that it is associated with human papillomavirus. Now, the other risk we talked about was smoking, using mm-hmm. tobacco, chewing tobacco, snuff, cigars, pipes. Any use of tobacco is associated with cancer of the mouth, mm-hmm. oral cancer. You know, I try to explain to patients, a cigarette, if you take a cigarette, we know that when people smoke, it is the temperature of the cigarette, there's heat, there's chemicals. If you were to take a cigarette and touch it to your skin accidentally, it would burn your skin.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
So we know that smoking over a long period of time also does damage to the lining of your mouth and to the lining of your lungs, mm-hmm. which is extremely important for your overall health. We also know that the toxins in cigarettes are absorbed into your body. So I don't want people to think that it's only the human papillomavirus. There's other risks to developing oral cancer. But I want people to understand how the HPV virus plays a role not only in oral cancer, but in cervical cancer, in genital warts. And so I want people to understand it does more than just the oral cancer.
It's a very timely topic to be having and talking about because of the Michael Douglas, the actor, tie-in. He comes out and makes a comment that a lot of people will jump on when obviously, from what we're learning here, there's so much more to the story.
There's more to the story, and we know that the human papillomavirus is spread through contact. Mm-hmm. All right? What is the transmission? Sexual contact, hand-to-genital contact, oral-to-genital contact, and just contact. Mm-hmm. That is the most important take-home message. But we also know that the human papillomavirus, the worst ones, the high risk, are HPV 16 and 18. Now we know that genital warts, 90%, are caused by the low risk HPV 6 and 11. What is a wart? Well, it could be a small, fleshy bump that doesn't go away. It can look like a little cauliflower type. So even if the wart is removed, you have to understand that virus can still be there. Even if the wart is removed.
So the wart is just an outward sign of the virus. It doesn't encompass or contain the virus, so to speak.
Right. There's different ways to treat genital warts, which are there's topical ways, there's certain chemicals that are used, there's certain creams that have increased your immune system to fight the wart, freezing the wart, or even surgery. Mm-hmm. We know that we can prevent these, especially these, what I call the high-risk subtypes, from being spread. Because what is a vaccination? There is a vaccination. A vaccination increases your immune system to fight. Mm-hmm. There are ways to prevent human papillomavirus, especially the number 6, 11, 16, and 18. there is a vaccination. There's two that are FDA approved, and that is Gardasil and Cervarix. So these vaccinations need to be given before you become infected. So they're FDA approved to be given to men and women between the ages of 9 and 26.
See, I'm learning so much today because I had been under the understanding the vaccines were for young women only. See,
no.
It's important we get this out.
It is for men and women. Boys and girls, men and women, Gardasil is FDA approved for men and women between the ages of 9 to 26.
Okay.
Now, why is it given at a younger age? Because we are trying to prevent the infection. So in the long run, this is going to make a difference. The research is still out there. Hopefully, its role in oral cancer and its role in cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important. Did you know? I know this is another little sidebar. A lot of people have seen the movie Evita.
Yes.
It's a musical.
Mm-hmm.
Evita Perón.
Right.
Evita Perón died of cervical cancer.
Really?
Over almost 300,000 women die a year in this world from cervical cancer.
Mm.
So it could be prevented if people had a pap smear. So that's very important. So if you think about this, and she died, I believe, in the late 1930s. If you think about it, we could be preventing a disease from a simple little test. It's very important. And we can help prevent the spread of this virus with a vaccination. Now, the other vaccination is only approved for girls between the age of 10 and 15, and that only has, it covers the virus 16 and 18. Remember, these are the high-risk virus.
6, 11, 16, 18.
Yeah, the bad one's 16 and 18.
Okay.
So, again, transmission. We have to understand that the transmission is by contact. So, if you have contact with another human being who has this virus, you are at high risk. Now, there have been studies that show, which it's like everything in life, the more you're exposed to this chance of getting the human papillomavirus. In other words, the more sexual partners you have, the higher risk you are of getting this virus.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, I read an article, which is very interesting, because in the 60s and 70s, there was a big sexual revolution. You know, people didn't have the scares. They did have the sexually transmitted diseases of syphilis and gonorrhea.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't know about HIV,
mm-hmm.
which is also sexually transmitted. So it's important to know that even during that time, those people that were sexually and now they're older may have that virus,
mm-hmm.
the human papillomavirus. We know that spermatocides, which kill sperm, doesn't really kill HPV.
Mm.
And again, I need to make people aware that the use of birth control pills does not prevent the spread of human papillomavirus, HPV. Actually, birth control pills only work to help prevent birth control, as stated. They do not help prevent you getting any sexually transmitted disease, such as gonorrhea, syphilis, or HIV. And I think that's important for people to understand that.
I wonder how many people labor under the misapprehension, the idea that is sort of a catch-all. Birth control and prevents all these other things from happening when, in fact, that's not true.
That's not true. You need to understand. Now, a lot of our our audience and our the people that live here in Charlotte County are over the age of 65. Yes, you may have a new partner, have met someone new, and we need to recommend that you use condoms. Safe sex is very, very important. Very important at any age. So it's not just for the teenagers or the young people. You need to remember that safe sex is important at every age. We also need to understand that the human papillomavirus is also been associated with anal rectal cancers. Now, there is not a pap test, quote, pap test yet for oral cancer or for anal cancer, rectal cancer. So there is not a screening test. Remember, screening is to look for disease. So, and by looking for disease at an earlier stage, then we can help prevent the consequences. Just like we, you know, the word prevent. Again, somebody asked me, well, you have a prevention center. What do you do? You know, what do you prevent? Well, we're trying to not only prevent heart attack, stroke, diabetes, but we're trying to prevent me as a lipidologist, as a certified menopause practitioner. We're trying to prevent events and diseases by catching it early. You know, everyone, you know, people are pretty much in tune knowing there's certain things you have to do to maintain your car, right?
Mm-hmm.
Change the oil. Now, I'm not mechanically savvy, but change the oil, check the tires,
right.
Read the gauges mm-hmm. on your car, know what the temperature is, right?
Right.
Okay. So why don't we do that with our bodies? We can. And that is my whole mission. We can prevent by, number one, the most important thing is knowledge, understanding. And it can be understanding. We don't have to have everybody understand every chemical reaction. But we can understand what is it we can do to prevent certain diseases. So if using a condom could prevent a disease or prevent us from getting cancer, then so be it. If we recommend sunscreen to prevent skin cancer, then that's another thing that we could do. So that's very important. In fact, I was going to talk about, there was a study, but we'll talk about the sunscreen afterwards. So what happens if you're exposed to the human papillomavirus? What happens? Well, we know that if you do have the virus, that if you want to try to develop preventing the development of oral cancer, then you should brush your teeth, see a dentist, quit using tobacco, decrease your alcohol intake, know that having more sexual partners puts you at greater risk. So this is very, very important to know. We need to know that women can get screened and get your pap test. Now, there's a whole controversy of how often you should get. We're going to do a whole program on that. But I think the bottom line is, in terms of the human papillomavirus, you need to get checked.
You just said something about women getting screened, which begs me to answer this question. Is there a screening for men?
There is not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
Okay. But men need to know that there is a potential for anal cancers. Okay. Mm-hmm. And remember, we talked about not just this type of cancer that could be associated with the human papillomavirus. We know that melanoma, which is a type of skin cancer, can be found where the sun does not shine.
Very good point.
Which is under your fingernails, in between your fingers, in your genital area. So this is important to know. And to understand, and to be aware of your body. The most important thing is to be aware. If you see a change, if you feel a lump, get it checked out. Don't wait. I have seen through my years of practicing medicine that a lot of times people wait too long. And I ask them, they go, oh, I thought it was going to go away. I'm busy. I work. Yes, we all work. We all need to make a living. But we need to take care of our bodies first, for ourselves, for our family, right? We've said about more good years.
Right.
Hasn't, you know, that's really important. So we need to know that what are the myths? What are the facts? We know that oral sex is a risk factor if that person has human papillomavirus, because it is a minor risk, but it is a risk. That HPV is associated, and it's also associated more with men who have oral cancer. And men are more likely to get oral cancer than women. So that's important to know. Now, as a family physician, and as someone who works with both men and women, I do strongly feel that safe sex is important, but I also feel that an intimate life should be forever. We're all humans, and I feel that whatever we can do, and there's things that we can do to help promote an intimate life. The advent of Viagra, that was really important to help men with their intimate life. For women, we can help them with an intimate life by helping them with their menopausal symptoms. So I don't want people to think that because I have menopause, I'm not interested anymore, it doesn't matter. It does matter, and we can help patients with understanding, with different treatments that are available. There is a way that every human can have an intimate life with their special, with their spouse, their significant other, for as long as they're alive. It's so important. We all want to be loved. We all want to have that someone special that when we walk in the door, wow, that smile goes from ear to ear. That look in the eye of, you know what? I really love you. I want to be with you. I want to hold your hand. You know, that's so special.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if anybody wants to talk about it, I'm here to talk about it on the air. How important. But also, I want everyone to understand that is important to be healthy, to be able to have a good intimate life, to be able to enjoy the grandkids, to be able to travel, and to be healthy. You know, as we get older, we want to have more good years. We want to enjoy, you know, the hobbies. I love my animals, my dogs. I love to garden. We've spoken about that. So what is the take-home message today? Remember that there is a virus out there called the human papillomavirus. And it does play a role. Viruses are important. Do not confuse this virus with the shingles virus. This is a different virus. Do not confuse it with the chickenpox. Chickenpox is the virus that you get when you're young, and you actually get it at any age. And it's the virus that stays and ultimately can cause the shingles, or what we call herpes zoster. We know that the human papillomavirus is different. We know that the human papillomavirus, there is a vaccination that we can give to young people before they become sexually active. Now, I was reading, unfortunately, that less than 40% of the population that could be vaccinated are vaccinated.
Really? This has been out for many years and a lot of conversation about it.
Yes. But
why the slow adoption, do you think?
Well, I'm sure cost. Maybe people don't really know about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when that light bulb lights up in your brain or you hear it, and this is part of it, this is why I wanted to talk about this today, because it's in the news, people see it in the news, and they go, what is this? What is that HPV virus? I want people to understand, what is it? What does it cause? So I think that, again, knowledge is very important, knowing that you can prevent. And isn't it great to know that if you can help prevent cervical cancer in future generations, wow, that's great. If we can prevent other types of cancer, now the research is still ongoing. If we could prevent oral cancer, wow, that's great.
Sure. Or at least eliminate one of the ways of contracting.
One of the risks.
Right. One of the risk factors.
Which we know if we stop smoking, stop heavy drinking, all these things are important. What is it? An ounce of prevention is worth more than a pound of cure?
Well, the question that comes to my mind is, you've said that there's a link between the two, between oral cancer and oral sex. What does a person do to cut down their risk? Obviously, there's a link between smoking and oral cancer. So you cut down the smoking, you cut it out. Do we need to be preaching to people about giving up on that particular sexual activity?
Well, the thing is this, that there are certain type of barriers that are out there oral sex.
Okay.
There are different type of barriers. I also think that it's important to try to keep a monogamous relationship. Keep with that one person. You know, it's like if I put you in front of a train speeding down the road, there's a higher risk. Cut back on your, know that you're at greater risk with the more partners that you have.
Okay.
That's very, very important. So the other thing is be aware of your health. Now, if we know that people can clear the virus, so if you're decreasing your immune system, what is the best way to boost your immune system? Eat healthy, exercise, do not smoke, decrease your alcohol consumption. Those are all important. So these are the practical things we can do. I am not advocating that people stop having sex. I'm saying know your risk, know what you need to do to prevent the other risk factors too that can occur.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the person who comes to me and says, Dr. Triana, I really don't like using medications.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to use those quote statins.
Right.
Because it might kill my liver.
Did a whole show on this.
We did as a lipidologist, we know that you having high cholesterol, you're at risk for vascular disease.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has high cholesterol. Who has?
Mm-hmm.
Not everyone who has elevated cholesterol will necessarily have vascular disease, but it's a risk.
Yes.
So the people will say, I don't like medicines. However, they will be smoking maybe 1 to 2 packs of cigarettes a day. So I tell them, you've got to eliminate this big major risk, which is the smoking.
I love hearing I don't want to put chemicals in my body, which prescription pills and over-the-counter pills, but I'll smoke.
Right.
Because that's a natural product. Oh, please.
So that's right. It's not, this is something that's very, very important to understand. The medicines, I always say, were invented for a reason. We have lived longer than ever before, our life expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
We had an incredible cardiologist talk last week who also talked about, I thought that was very interesting the way he showed, he talked about 1/3 of people can have a heart attack and never
know it.
Never know it. So what we're trying to do is prevent you from having that heart attack, because once you've had a heart attack, it puts you in a higher risk category. So this is the take-home message about human papillomavirus. We can vaccinate women and men between the ages of 9 and 26 mm-hmm. for the high risk. Vaccinate. We know that if you have a lump or sore that doesn't heal in your mouth, you need to get it checked out.
Have things checked.
We know that also you need... Boy, we're almost ending it all up. That was a quick...
This one went by fast. Go ahead. You have time to finish the checklist here. Vaccinate. Check
any sores in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And remember that I am Dr. Elizabeth Triana. And if you need a family physician, I am accepting new patients. If you want to see me for your menopause symptoms, I am here for you. And also, if you have vascular disease, you've had a heart attack or stroke, I am also a lipidologist. I am here for you. So stay healthy. And remember, we're all looking for more good years.